So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. Welcome to the Property Cashflow Show. My name's Alan Latto. I hope you're well today. We are here in sunny Spain. Gorgeous weather, a little bit too warm, if there's such a thing as too warm. That's why we moved here in the first place. But in today's session, I want to talk to you about two things. The first thing I want to talk to you about is going to be how we are legally having to pay £1,200 for a property that we own in Leeds for a balcony that we haven't got. So we're going to talk about that. But we're also going to talk about how we've managed to sell 1.25 million. That's what's been agreed. It hasn't completed yet, but that's what's been agreed. This is not an individual property. It's a number of properties, but we've managed to sell £1.2 million worth of property this month, despite lockdown, and we've actually made a five-figure commission on this as well. So that's very nice, and we're going to talk to you about that. But before we talk about that, let's talk about this balcony. I sent them an email yesterday saying, you do know, by the way, I understand why I'm being legally charged this. We'll get onto what that is in a minute. But I told them, you do know I'm going to do this on my podcast. And they kind of panicked and started to get a little bit flummoxed. They didn't send a legal warning over, which I kind of expected, which would have been quite funny as well. And we would have said who it was if we'd have got a legal warning, because we quite enjoy those. So we've got a property in Leeds. It's a development in Leeds. It's near the train station. I own this property for 15 years, maybe. It's a two-bed flat with car parking. This is the property, by the way, that we bought that was on, I think, for like 180 grand or £175,000. We put an offer in of 140, and the estate agent said that they thought we were taking the piss. Is it literally their words exactly? It's a well-known estate agency in the centre of Leeds who are still there. And I said, well, you know, it's an offer. You've got to put the offer in. So they did. The seller came back at £141,500. And I said to the estate agent, clearly not taking the piss that much, is it? If they, you know, sort of cost me an extra 1,500 quid and we dropped 35 grand off this two bed, which I thought was quite funny. But that was about 15 years ago. And what was really funny about this was that this property had been on the market for about 18 months, doesn't have a balcony, on the market for 18 months, which is kind of why it had been on the market, really. Nobody wanted to invest in this as an investor because it didn't have a balcony. I think they just thought, you know, people didn't want to live there. But we completed on a Friday. And for whatever reason, I got in touch with the sellers and I'm like, oh, we need the keys for tomorrow because we've got tenants moving in. And they're like, tenants moving in? Have you got tenants moving in? You've not even viewed it with them. I'm like, no, they're moving in from the photographs that we took at the time. And they're like, but we've been trying to sell and rent that for the last 18 months. And I said, well, it's because you're using a crap estate agent, isn't it? Who shall remain nameless. And by the way, I apologise for the drilling in the background. There's been no drilling whatsoever today. It's midday. Somebody has to drill something, obviously. Drives me insane sometimes, but what can you do? So anyway, so we now own this property, and we have done for 15 years. We've rented it out. It's never been empty. We've used it for serviced accommodation 10 years ago. We have long-term tenants in there. They pay about 900, 950, I think it is, actually, on its two-bedroom parking. Very nice property. But it hasn't got a balcony. And obviously, we had this tragedy of Grenfell with the cladding. Now, this property, luckily, the cladding is fireproof and it's fire-safe. But as with many developments like this, the balconies are wooden. And therefore, if you have a barbecue, they can set fire. And this has happened in the past. So all these balconies with wooden flooring and wooden handrails, that all needs to be updated. So this forms part of a service charge. So what happens is a company comes in, three or four companies come in. They quote for replacing all the balconies. And then that quote, they pick one. That gets added to the service charge, which is what we pay every month. And then it's divided by how many square feet you own in your apartment, and then it's spread out between all the apartments. So everybody has to pay for the service charge because it's a whole building's worth of work that has to be done for safety for everybody. Now, I'm not actually that upset about it. It's 1,200 quid. 1,200 quid is a lot of money. We could go to Disneyland for that. But I totally get from a fire safety point of view, and luckily now we're financially free and that kind of thing. So but if this was 15 years ago, we couldn't afford that. We'd have been quite upset by that, in fact. But now we are legally having to pay for a balcony to be repaired, and we don't own a balcony, and it's completely legal. I sent them an email saying, you do know I don't have a balcony, and I knew what their response was going to be. They're like, yeah, no, it's a property wide situation. We kind of knew that anyway, but I'm just interested in seeing what they were going to say. We like to wind people up a little bit as well, especially when we said we're going to do a podcast about it. But I just thought that was quite funny. So it's like, this is the world of property. Now, I should go one further from this, because luckily, two things actually. One is, I've never bought in a floodplain. I kind of think that's a little bit daft for those people who do buy in a floodplain and then complain that it floods. You bought in a floodplain. The developers shouldn't be allowed to sell in floodplains. But if so, and you're buying in a floodplain, you need to get rid of that stuff, because you're just going to have problems, continual problems. But then the second thing here is that if you're owning apartments in city centres, all the fire teams have been into all the apartments and said, actually, this is fireproof cladding or it's not fireproof cladding. For those that haven't got fireproof cladding, the whole lot needs to be redone, and the people who own those properties are now having to pay for all the cladding to be done, right? That can be tens of thousands of pounds for the work to be done per unit. Now, this is the bad thing. Two things here. Number one, you cannot get a remortgage until this work is done. Your property is worth zero. It's not worth a thing until the fire cladding has been replaced, if it's not fireproof. The second thing, because it's not mortgageable, you can't sell your property. So, for example, if I wanted to sell my property that hasn't got a balcony, I cannot sell it until all the balcony work has been done. Isn't that crazy? It's just crazy. This is a crazy world we live in, and it's one of the risks that gurus never tell you about, that training courses never tell you about. You need cash to be allocated for properties. And once again, I apologize for the person drilling. I'm going to go punch them in the face very soon, so they stop. But not a lot we can do about it. But these are the things that people don't tell you about. You know, fire cladding. Like, who would have guessed? And obviously, the tragic events of Grenfell, and even more tragic, or not even more, but other aspects of the tragedy are that those people still haven't been given a home yet, 3 years on, which is just shocking. But as an investor, you have to be prepared for stuff just to come along out of the blue that knocks you for 10. And if you haven't got the cash available to sort it, it's going to cause you problems. But that's why I'm having to pay for a balcony that I don't own. So let's talk on to the second bit that I wanted to talk about. If you've got any questions, stick them in the box below, by the way. So this month we've done very well. I know the month's not over, but we actually had negotiated all this. And it's not me, by the way. It's my business partner that's done it. Thank you very much. She's an absolute star at doing these negotiations. It's what she loves to do, and she's very, very good at it. And it's one of the reasons why we are business partners. But as of the 12th of June, we'd actually agreed for sales, I think it's £1.25 million worth of property. Now, this is not one property, it's not two properties, it's a mixture of a portfolio and some other individual properties as well. But the finder's fee, and so this is really to do with property sourcing. When people go, can you really make a lot of money on property sourcing? We've just made a five-figure sum from this. And by the way, like, five figures is somewhere between £10,000 and £99,000. So it's somewhere between there. We're not going to tell you what that is, because that's down to us, not down to anybody else knowing. But this is what you get paid for bringing two parties together. So if I can diagram this for you, because you know I love a diagram. This is us in the middle. There she is. Okay, you can see that nicely. Here we have the properties. And these need to be sold. Do you like my houses? They're pretty cool. Let's give them some downstairs windows. So right here, you've got the property owner. They need to sell their property. And over here is the buyer. Let's do that as a man for now. It's a very strange looking man. And that's a person who's got the money. So this person in the middle, all they're doing is introducing these people. That's it. You're just acting as a broker in the middle, introducing these. So we had a number of properties to sell. I'm owner of the business, so I suppose it is we, but I have nothing to do with this. My business partner went out and found the buyers, connected these two together, And upon the sale, 1.2 million of all of that, we made a five-figure sum here. So we actually got paid right here. That is property sourcing 101. All you're doing is you're acting as a broker. And if you're a property sourcer or you want to earn an additional income and you think, yeah, I could do property sourcing, then you are the person in the middle that's simply bringing these people together. Now, obviously, it's not as simple as that. There are extra things that you have to do to make sure that this guy or girl doesn't go straight to this person and steal the deal without you getting paid. We cover all of that, obviously, in the property sourcing training. But you can do this. Anyone can do this. But it's not something that you're going to, like, do a training course and then the next day you find £1.2 million worth of property, you find the investor, and you make a five-figure sum. Like, I wish that was as easy as it is. We make it sound easy, but I've been in property for 20 years. I've been finding, sourcing deals. We dropped 50,000 leaflets 1 month. 50,000 leaflets. Think about that. By the way, that's just two people dropping 1,000 a day for 25 days. So when you think about that, that's not actually that much. But you've got to be able to afford that. You know, £40 a thousand, is that £2,000? It didn't cost us that because we have a leaflet dropping company. But we've been doing this for 20 years. I don't think, other than one property, I've never bought a property at asking price. I've always bought below market value because I'm an investor. I'm supposed to buy below market value. Warren Buffett buys businesses below market value. One of the things that I look for when I'm buying a business, and we've got one going through right now, should complete next month. We've had a very busy lockdown, you should know. We sold £1.2 million worth of properties. We've got acquired half a letting agency. We've got a construction company that's going through, that's turning over £2 million a year. We've had a really busy lockdown. But when we're looking for companies, we're looking for companies that are doing okay, but their marketing's crap. Because I own a marketing company. Okay, so then we take over a company, we up the marketing, their revenues are up, we're going to sell it or we're going to keep it and add it to our portfolio companies to sell, you know, 10 years down the line at 10, 20 million, whatever that happens to be. If that works, we have no idea if it will or won't because we haven't done it yet. But when you're buying properties, just like here, you should be buying below market value or you should be buying something where you see extra potential that other people cannot see. So when I bought that flat where I'm having to pay 1,200 quid for a balcony I don't own, I saw potential in that property. The windows were filthy and you went in, it was really dusty and I was like, no one's going to buy this. That's why I bought that with a £30,000 discount, which was at the time is what, about 20% discount. It's not even a huge discount really when you think about it, but it was a true discount. That property now is only worth about 190 anyway, by the way, because prices haven't really risen in Leeds. But I'll give you another example. We bought a house, and on the side of this house, it's on a main road going into Leeds City Centre. But on the side of this house here, it's blank. And all the other houses have these big billboards. And so we bought it for the billboard here. We actually bought it below market value anyway. It was worth 120. I think we paid 106 for it. So we got a, 13% discount. But the only reason we bought it, one, because it's a big four bed and we can get high rents for it using local housing authority. And two, is because it had a billboard on the side that we can then charge rent and get 500 quid a month for as well. So on this house that we paid 106,000 for, we're getting £790 a month on LHA. That's every 4 weeks. So it's really about, what would that be? It'd be about 10 grand a year, okay? Plus another £6,000 a year for the billboards on the side. So we're making 16 grand on a house I paid 106,000 for. And I apologize for the drilling or whatever it is that they're doing. You know, all morning we've had nobody making any sound, no one's drilling, no one's cutting anything down. As soon as we go live, we get people drilling, which drives me insane. At some point, we're going to have a studio downstairs in the basement, I think. We're going to have to convert that into a studio. I spend a couple of grand on it, make it quite fancy and so on. But until then, we film outside because it's hot and so on. We have to cope with people drilling. If you guys got any comments about any of that, I'm just going to grab a quick drink. If you got any comments about either the balcony or about property sourcing, about being a broker in the middle and matching up buyers and property sellers, let me know. So, in terms of like putting together a deal like this, how long does it take? Well, it can take a day, or it can take 6 months, or it can take 6 years, or it can take 20 years, right? If you've got a way of finding properties, leaflet drops, online marketing, networking, whatever that happens to be, dealing with solicitors, probate, repossessions, auctions, etc. You've got a way of finding deals, okay, and you've got that part of that problem solved, then the problem is you've got to find buyers. And this is what I find is that people are good at one or the other. They're either really good at finding deals but can't find buyers, or they've got buyers who are desperate to find deals and they cannot find deals. They're not very good at leaflet drops or marketing and that kind of thing. So you've got to maybe match up. You might have two people in here. So if you're really good at finding investors, you could, let me just make this a bit clearer. You could work with a partner. So there's two people here. You could go out and find the investors and the partner could go out and find the houses, or vice versa. You could be the person finding houses and they're the people who go and find investors. That's a great way of doing it. That's a wonderful way of doing it, because then all you got to do is focus on finding houses, or all you got to do is focus on finding investors. If you're doing this on your own, you've got to focus on finding both. And that can be one of the things that takes quite a long time to do it. So there's no questions coming in. So I think that'll do us for today. Good little podcast there. All this stuff gets recorded. It goes onto the podcast on iTunes, which you can find at daniellatto.co.uk/iTunes. Or go type my name in iTunes. We're on Spotify as well, which still blows me away. We don't get a lot of downloads on Spotify, but the fact that you're on Spotify, it's like, I'm next to Rick Astley. I don't know. So you can download us on there, or you can go and watch the replays on YouTube. But thank you for joining us. We're going to go live again on Friday. Hopefully the man that's drilling will have stopped drilling by then. And we'll speak to you on Friday. Have a good couple of days. Stay safe, and we'll speak to you soon. My name's Dan Latto. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.